हरिः ॐ सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay. Okay, so then having established that we have the authority of what's valid knowledge and then other aspects, then what is being established, then you have a doubt, then you have a goal like that, because the point of a doubt is that you're trying to accomplish something, right? To have doubts just to argue and all that, then that's a waste of time. And not that you can't use logic for that, right? And people who are into this, that they follow Shastra and follow these things, then that's an improvement off of not following Shastra. Mm-hmm. Right? It should always be understood that to follow the Shastra, even for a materialistic perspective, is still better than being materialistic and not following. Right? So they're always, that's always respected. Like that, because they're culture. They respect authority. You know, there's that element that it is about good qualities. Now, whether they are able to manifest those other than when they need to for their material benefit, that's another thing. Right? But the point is that they're at least making that attempt. So it's a step up. But once we come to Krishna consciousness, then these things don't have that importance anymore. Does that make sense? Like just for example, let's say someone is quite new agey before becoming Krishna conscious. Now, that means they're a little bit more subtle, refined, more developed, you know, culturally and all these other aspects. Then let's say a general person who doesn't have any interest beyond just, you know, their regular eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So it's a step up for the karmis. But once one becomes a devotee, unless this becomes subservient to the Krishna conscious process, and it's not the praman or the authority for Krishna conscious, then if one keeps those attachments, it will hold you back. Because for a devotee, then, New Age is a step down. Mm-hmm. Like a very big step. You know, one of those you went on the stairs and you misjudged the steps and you fall over. Yeah, it's that kind of step. So one has to be very, very careful. It's understanding that there's a progression and that progression is respected. Just like Mayavadis are respected because of their, means that they're, you know, the sannyasis and like this, because of their renunciation, their practicing of the, you know, Vedic authority and this and that. So they're respected for that. We don't listen to their philosophy, but they're respected for that endeavor. But it's still not as great as a devotee. Maybe greater than a karmi, but not as much as a devotee. You seem to have something to say.
My advice is pretty smart.
Okay. Oh, he said, yeah. What do you want? I heard that. Okay. Does that make sense? So therefore, if the doubt is about how to apply it in Krishna consciousness, right? So that is then the whole point to do is because you have a point you've understood from or heard from Krishna, you know, heard from the authority. Then there may be a few ways you can apply it. Mm-hmm. So a doubt comes up. How to apply it? You know, which is the correct and which isn't. But it's not, is Shastra correct or not? That's not, that kind of doubt, that's atheistic. This means is that I'm accepting the Shastra, how to apply that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So then in my situation, what do I do? Do I do this or do I do that, which would be better? You know, that kind of thing. Then that doubt. So then, but what's the prayojana? The prayojana is to please Krishna. So therefore, then one will move towards that. If it's some other aspect of karma and jnana, then that's how then the logic will unfold. So depending upon your prayojana, then that's how the whole logical process will unfold. Right? So next we have five drishtanta, or example, is the use of an example to illustrate a common fact and establish an argument. Right, so then you want to use you want to illustrate, means in giving your example, you're trying to illuminate the point that's being made. Right? And so then you use an example that will have some meaning to the audience that you're discussing with, or the individual that you're discussing with. Because if it's not, if it's not something that they can relate to, then it doesn't make it that they can catch the point that's being made. Does that make sense? So six, Siddhanta, or doctrine, is an axiomatic postulate that is accepted as the undisputed truth and that serves as the foundation for the entire theory of a particular system of philosophy. Footnote 19. Sarganam adhir antascha madhyam chayavaham arjuna adhyatma vidya vidyanam vada pravadantam aham. Of all creations, I am the beginning and the end and also the middle. O Arjuna, of all sciences, I am the spiritual science of the self. And among logicians, I am the conclusive truth, Siddhanta, Bhagavad Gita 10:32. It's interesting is that now in the dog's world, what's going on out there is like really, really all-consuming, you know? It's like totally, you know, that's what's making or breaking it in the universe and what makes everything run. But for everyone else, it's just a disturbance. Right? So that's the actual position, is that on the material platform, for us, it's so important. But on the spiritual platform, it doesn't really have any point at all. You know? Because it's like, he's on my road. It's kind of like, what do you mean, your road? You know? This is a Mayapur road. You know? But it's their road. You know? This is my territory. So then we get into that. And so, but no, it's Krishna's. It's, you know, that. Yeah.
So Siddhanta is used in Nyaya?
Siddhanta is the whole point that Nyaya is establishing.
Okay.
You're using this whole process to do that. So you have a Siddhanta, or a point you want to make. But that has to be based on Shastra. Right? So the point you're making is going to be some Prameya. Right? But it has to be something that is the foundational point. Because otherwise you have people who just talk. Well, you know, and I was thinking, and then, you know, and this and that, and this one said to me, and it's like, yeah, yeah, and they can go on like that forever, because it's just about the interaction, the feelings, that someone's listening, someone to talk to, you know, but it's not about anything, so that's the point, unless there's a conclusion, that's an applicable conclusion, then what's the point? So that's the whole thing, is people, it comes out, it's a political thing, it's this and that. But you see, as if something is political, materialistic, self-centered, economic, mercenary, do any of these sound good when it comes to relationship? No. So you have to use nice words to make them sound good, you know, like ethnic cleansing. You know, it really sounds like, you know, a valuable project, you know. But, you know, the standard term is genocide, right? Does that make sense? But you give it a nicer term so that it sounds great. So that's the whole point, is we have to avoid all those things. Siddhanta has to be something that is, you know, is actually the conclusion, right? But that means then it has to be conclusion as given by Krishna and Gita, right? That's Siddhanta. Right? And then we find deeper understandings of that in Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it has to be that level. Otherwise, if it's speculative, it's not real. They'll call it Siddhanta, but it's not real Siddhanta. Does that make sense? Yes.
Mark, so at what point in the discussion should we bring Siddhanta? Because naturally it sounds like at the end. But
means you're opening with it, you're closing with it.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between the opening and the closing is the opening you're making the point. That is the point of discussion. The closing will be that same point, but you can either just bring it to that point, or you can take it a step further in the application of the point. So if you study like Prabhupada's purports, you see much of the time he always takes it that step forward, the application of it. Because without Abhideya, what's the point? So it's not just theory like that. But the axiomatic presentation is complete if you just restate the point, so now they understand what you're talking about. Like I say something, I make a point, you don't really know where it's going in that. So I give a reason, okay, then it gives some context. So that will then bring up the doubts. Like that. Then that's where I start giving examples. And then once I've given examples where now you start to catch what it is, then whatever your doubts are, because there's going to be there's going to be some, you know, Siddhanta or something to the doubt. I mean, at least there should be. I mean, it's not that people just don't just, it's just the feeling and all that. So that's what we, you know, in this group, you know, are getting, less patient about. I mean, being patient is an important quality in Krishna consciousness, but also getting through the course is also an important part of our practice of Krishna consciousness. So these points that come up that don't actually have a Siddhanta, or at least not that's presented, because if you present it, it's just so materialistic that it won't be accepted by the assembly. So therefore, you cloak it in all these other kind of aspects. Like I said, you try to make it look like it's something important. But actually, it comes down to just a personal experience that you have and a samskar you have. And therefore, it annoys you. So whenever it comes up as a discussion, you want to be able to vent. You want to be able to express and get others on board that this is bad. But that's not the discussion, because that's not a Siddhanta. That's just experiencing a feeling. It may be for you, but if that's there, then what's your point? Right? So if the point is okay, I had a bad experience because somebody dealt badly, they didn't properly perform their duties in the way of, let's say, giving security or shelter or being stable or being trustworthy or, you know, whatever is the quality that you're looking for. So then instead of saying, yes, trustworthiness in a relationship is very important, we're not going to say that, because it's Siddhanta, means the discussion's over. Because the other person will go, yes, of course, yeah, that's very important. But that's not what it's about, because it's not an intellectual point. So logic means you're using the intellect, you know, you're trying to satisfy the mind, but the point is you're satisfying it through an intellectual reasoning process. But then what we're talking about here is, no, but then this person, they did this, and they were, you know, I trusted them, and they did like this and that. But what has that got to do with our conversation now? But because you've touched on it, you know, it's just like a nerve. You touched it, then, you know, it comes out, and that becomes the center of attention in the whole discussion.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So then it's not actually Siddhanta, because the Siddhanta is that people acting in a, you know, in one, you know, speaking one way, doing another, whatever it is wrong. They should be, you know, straightforward, or they should be, you know, stable or consistent. Whatever it is, that point that you want to make, that's there. And that point is, yes, something to discuss. Yeah. Does that make sense? Because this other thing is, why did they do this to me? Why did it happen to me? You know, what's wrong with me? Why is this happening? Why is this going on? Why do people let it happen? Why does God let this happen? You know, do we have free will? You understand, this is where the conversation's going. And so you can just go on and on and on about these emotional outpouring. But the point is that it's about, are we trying to come to a point of understanding what is going on, so then we can take that in our life, contemplate it through the process of manana, and then see how to apply it in our life. Because the point is yes, it's a material world, and bad things happen to good people. Because we're always a good person, right? So if anything bad happens to us, it's bad things happening to good people. So therefore, why does this happen? Because all these things. And so ultimately, are we the controller and enjoyer? Why is all this ultimately happening? Because we want to be the controller and enjoyer. We're separate from Krishna. Therefore, the Krishna conscious conclusion is the thing that solves the problem. Not the thing, you know, but, you know, this person did this to me. Is, yeah, how long ago? What can you do about it now? Will this discussion have any effect on that? No. It'll make me feel better because I feel bad and everyone's going to sit and listen to me vent. You understand? So that's the problem. So we see, you know, we see that's where the issues come up. Someone has a problem with, you know, temple authority, and so then they bring up their thing, or, you know, the GBC, they bring up their thing, or, you know, preachers, or, you know, devotees in their community that are senior men, you know, like their Prabhupada disciples and that, but they, you know, yeah, 30 years ago they were doing something, now they don't, they just make comments about everything and say everybody's doing something, but they won't do anything themselves, you know, like this. So you just go on and on about their issues. But it's not actually about solving them in a way to be Krishna conscious. It's just that it comes up, it's important to me, and like the dogs barking on the street, let's bark about it a while. When the actual point is no, that road's for people to come and go and things like that, and that's why then, you know, them barking on the road is just a disturbance. Does that make sense? So that's what logic is about. The logical process is to narrow this down, that conversation between, you know, individuals or groups happens on a more relevant and progressive way rather than just being feelings and this and that. You can address feelings. That's no problem. But it still is what is the problem with the feeling? You understand? Because there's a difference between, you know, someone did this, and so therefore I feel, and it felt bad, you know, it was a problem for the relationship. Therefore, being, let's say, truthful in a relationship is very important. So you know who you're dealing with. You know the relationship. You know the sambandha. You know who you are, who they are, what's the actual interaction. And that, you said, yes. You understand? So intellectually it does. It establishes the thing, but it doesn't deal with all my feelings and how I want to talk about it. But the problem is this is not the forum for that. That's why God made Facebook. Right? So you could do that. You know? So therefore this is then is a discussion on the philosophy. And so those things, yes, we have to do, but then we have to connect the dots. Yes, it is. So therefore that happened to me. So why would it happen to me? If I'm a nice guy, I'm not doing it to anybody else. Why is it happening to me? It's only happening because that's what we did to everybody else last lifetime or some lifetime. You know, in other words, we were that guy. And so then it's just coming around. So we can see it's not good. Therefore, we have that underlying tendency. So therefore, then we should make an endeavor to see that we don't do that. And how are we going to do that? By surrendering to Krishna. By taking inspiration from the devotees who don't show that. You know, you want to have problem with father figures. What about Prahlad Maharaj? You know? You know, when you bring it up, they say, you know, I don't want to talk about it. You know, it's like, you know what I'm saying? So the point is it's not there. You know, and then what about, you know, problem with family members? What about Pandavas? Like that? You know, 100 cousin brothers out to get you? You know, it's bad enough you got one cousin harassing you. He's got 100? And their friends, you know? So all these kind of things are going on, you know. Does that make sense? You know, someone else got my girl, right? You know, so Shishupal has that problem. Salva has the problem. You know, a whole bunch of guys have this problem. Duryodhana. Duryodhana has a problem, you know. And then there's Draupadi. Then there's a whole other list of people. You know, like that. So all these things that we find is just day to day, you know, the how you say, the what's that?
Inclusive?
Not inclusive. It means where it involves you. It just
all pervasive.
All like devours you. You know? Yeah, just like that kind of thing. You know, barking on the road. That, but you know, it's nothing compared to what we're studying in the scriptures. Like that. And they go through it in our Krishna consciousness. That's how they solve the problem. Yes.
In say, for example, in a class, then the teacher, he gives the presentation, then often the question starts with reasoning, which is very long thing, instead of bringing up the point.
Yes.
So should we first...
It's better. It means if you're dealing in an emotional environment or emotionally surcharged environment, and that's what the environment's for, right? Like a personal relationship or that, then sometimes you do have to give all background and this and that. You know, like we see when Krishna, then Arjuna's just kidnapped Subhadra.
Yeah.
And the whole assembly is up in arms, literally, you know, putting on armor or getting, you know, this and that. You know, that's the, you know. And so now Krishna can't just get to the point directly, because they're so emotional. So the first thing he does is, well, he is a Kshatriya, and he can't just get, you know, their whole thing is, you know, they insulted us, they didn't, you know, interact with us, they didn't ask us. He says, he's a Kshatriya. They can't accept charity, a girl in charity like a cow. You know, the Kshatriyas give cows in charity to the Brahmins. He's not going to accept her like that. And then they have to stop for a second and go, yeah. You know, and they all have to agree with that, because that's just the Kshatriya thing. So we're not saying that the Brahma marriage is like that, but we're just saying that you can throw that light onto it for argument's sake. You know? So therefore, okay. You know, and as a Kshatriya, they can't accept like this. So you get into Kshatriya Dharma, which they have to accept because that's the law. So having gotten into that, then the emotions become calmed a little bit. You know, then you can get into the next stage, and then the next one. Then he brings up is, and anyway, you're saying is that, you know, it's us and that Kurus and all this kind of stuff like that, but. His aunt is Kunti, who's one of us. She's a Yadu. I mean, excuse me, Yadu. And so she's married over into that side. And so actually being he's actually family. Then it's like you can't go, it's us and them so much.
Yes.
Right? And then it's kind of like, okay. And then you make the final point is, in any way, then... he's in my chariot with my horses, and there's no way you're ever going to catch him. So, you know, you know, you just kind of go through. You start with the emotional, show the goal. So that's why we see here the goal is the first thing established. Because when the goal is there, then the Siddhanta becomes so much easier to establish. If I have a goal, now if I give examples and all that, then I actually can relate to the result I want to get. Does that make sense? So the intelligence will go sambandha abhideya prayojana, but the mind goes sambandha prayojana abhideya. Right? And even there, technically, it goes sambandha meaning the desire aspect, or prajumna, to aniruddha, then back to sankarshan, then you look at vasudeva. That's how the mind works. So there has to be an interest. Then having gotten the interest, then the goal, then okay, now we'll discuss the actual subject. Does that make sense? So that's why the whole drishtanta, the whole example aspect, goes for the mind. You set it in the context of the intelligence that this is the point, this is the reason. But having said that, now you work on that the mind is satisfied. You get into all the examples, all the different things like that, and you go through. Then once it is, now you bring it back to the intelligence again, show how, you know, what that the point that their doubts and how that's being brought here, you know. It's just like you're saying there, yes, it is, people should be, you know, how you say, consistent in their relationships. That's why we see in Krishna consciousness that steadiness is so important. You know, nishta, that means now you're advanced. So steadiness is important. Why? Because that shows you're steady in the relationship with Krishna and the Vaishnavas. Right? And then from that steadiness, then you can develop love for Krishna. So relationships depend upon steadiness. So therefore, then, as you're saying, Krishna consciousness is the only solution to all problems. You understand? See, is that, so we've gone through, we've made it. Krishna consciousness is the only solution to all problems. It says, yeah, but what about, you know, so what do you mean? It says, by seeing everything in relationship to Krishna, then we can be steady, you know, in our Krishna consciousness, and that we won't be affected by the material world. Then the doubt comes up. No, but then the things they're doing aren't spiritual, so then this is the spiritual solution. They're doing material problems. So therefore, you know, that's not going to work. And then you have to go through the examples there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then once it does, you bring it back. But if you're dealing with an emotional kind of thing, you have to go around. Or you may be making a intellectual aspect. They may not know exactly what you're getting to because it's that kind of a point. So then you may be giving the praman first. You know, the authority, the background of it, the point that it is, and then bring it up, you know, and then slowly bring it close.
Yeah.
Like that. So you just have to see what's the mood of what's there. That's the whole point. Is the first thing you're doing is when you're addressing an individual or a group, is what's the mood. So an individual has a mood, but the group, you take it, what's the overall flavor? Right? What's the balance? Are you dealing with the chutney? Are you dealing with the sabji? Are you dealing with a sweet? You know, like this. Because like in many sweets, you put a little salt, but it's still a sweet. You know, and in the salty thing, you put a little bit of sugar. You know, like that. So what is the balance? What do you have? So that's the thing that may take a little time to go. So a group that's regular, then you know the mood and all that. But when the group keeps changing, or the venue is changing, and so therefore different people there, then you have to catch that mood. And then based on that, then you make a presentation. So that's the whole idea, what the logic is for. You have 16 different tools to use. You know, and then how they fit in, where you use them, why you use them. Is that? Yeah. So the idea is to make a logical presentation. But how much you can deal just on the intellect, and how much you have to include the mind, because the mind has to be the one to accept. So the mind always has to be there. But it's just how much mind. You know, as the Japanese saying, when somebody's doing something, they're getting too mental and can't get it done properly, then the saying is too many mind. You know, it's just so many things you're thinking about, you know, so these mental states, you have so many you can't function. So the more there is, then the more elaborate it has to be. And if they're less mental, it can be more direct. Is that okay?
Yeah, from yesterday I also was thinking that when Mataji questioned that the most difficult audience is intelligent and mental people.
Yes, intelligent and mental, that's really a problem. Because they're smart enough to take the conversation, you know, from 0 to 100 in, you know, how you say, 2.3 seconds off in the wrong direction. They'll come up with things people just won't come up with. Yeah, they're a real problem. And also, if they're intelligent and too dry, they're also a problem. Because when they're too dry, all they have is the logic itself, the definitions of words and all. Because it doesn't really mean something to them. So it's just, it only has the value as much as the intellectual taste. Their mind is, that's the taste. So then the semantics, arguing over words and definitions and this and that. It's a standard thing. And it's just, everybody tends to do it. It's either overly emotional or overly, you know, what do you call it? There's a name for that. Didactic? Is that the word? It's just something, it means they get too much on the technical points and don't actually get to the actual what's being discussed. You know, it's just like, as opening to the Bhagavatam, then Prabhupada, I think most of the time, has in the front of the book the verse that it says that discussing about the glories of the Lord is, you know, the topmost, most important thing. Even if it's not discussed so technically well, those who are honest will accept it. So that's the whole point, is that what are they trying to say? That's what you get through. But if you're just arguing over, you're wrong because you're using the word wrong, then that's not It's not that. It's not applying the intelligence in a cultivation of a relationship. You may be using intelligence to be able to do that, but it's not for cultivating a relationship or understanding. You know, it's just being right. So those who tend to be a little scholarly, that's one of their pitfalls. But, you know, when you have this scholarliness and you mix that with New Age, then you really got a problem. Totally New Agely, totally scholarly, then they're a tough bunch. But the easiest is scholarly and practical. They're the best bunch.
Yeah.
You know, and next best will be practical. And a decent amount of intelligence to kind of be perceptive, you know, they can observe their environment. They'll catch it next. You just have to use very practical examples. You can't get too theoretical. Like that. Does that make sense? Then after that, it'll be intellectual and emotional. And then lowest is non-intellectual and totally emotional.
And we're not talking gender here, yes?
No, we're not. Not at all. Not in any way, shape, or form. Because that's always, relative to the position. You know, just like we're saying, it's the totally emotional freak out, you know, doesn't make any sense Brahmin woman is probably 10 times more logical and intelligent than, you know, that down-to-earth, solid Shudra man. So it's very relative. But within a particular group, you might be able to do something, but you get men who are totally difficult also. But they tend to be more towards the artsy world, yes.
As a definition of didactic.
Didactic, okay.
It's inclined to teach or lecture others too much.
Yes, that'll be there. It's in that direction. So they'll have that tendency, but it's another thing where yes, but that's good. I've heard the word, so it's another word. It's not, that wasn't the word I.
This means that they try to understand everything by themselves.
Yes,
down to up,
and they always try to, yes, down to up. They always try to correct everyone because they're always in that mood. You know, so it has to have that didactic basis, but the actual thing that they're doing is they're arguing over the semantics of a word or a definition of a word or something, and, you know, it's like people use it like that, you know. It's just like, you know, like the funniest one I always find is Italians. You know, anything you say, whatever the word you say, it's wrong. Whatever recipe you say is how you should cook it, it's wrong. It doesn't matter. You know, from one Italian to the next, it's just wrong. You know, America, okay, you make your sandwich like this or that. So you make that way, that's okay, but I prefer like this, or I find this is better. It's not that it's wrong, it's just this is better. But with the I noticed in the Italians, when it comes to a recipe, it's just wrong. It's not Italian. You know, this is. You know. And this means what their mother and grandmother cooks. And what their neighbor cooks, they're not Italians. You know, I don't know where they came from. You know. Yeah, they've been living here for generations. That doesn't make them Italian. You know. Like that. So it's very interesting like that.
Given the Siddhanta first, and then the Samshaya comes up. So then, for answering that samshaya, we prove the Siddhanta. Can we have that for a particular presentation? We'll have more than one Siddhanta before we come to the final Siddhanta.
More than one Siddhanta means you're taking it through stages. It's just like Prayojana. Are there more than one Prayojanas? Means there's an ultimate one, but you have a goal that you're trying to get to. In other words, when we're going through especially the more mental or more delicate discussion means you have a few steps of prayojanas you're trying to get to before you can establish the actual one. So any of these can be expanded. Means if you have 16 tools, that means these 16 can do everything. Does that make sense?
No.
It doesn't make sense.
Can do everything means like...
Means, do you have any other tools? Is there a 17th tool?
No.
No. So that means with 16 tools, any kind of discussion you have to be able to involve yourself in with these 16 tools. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that means then there must be a lot of variety of applications of each one of these tools.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's what we mean. So, yeah. So that means now all the rest of the dots you connect.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go, well, I also, is that on, what do you call it? Is that on Shamshaya? Can we have a variety of doubts or is only one doubt? You know, you know what I'm saying? That's the...
Okay, then I lost me, then you go on.
Okay.
And it's always one doubt.
Yeah, am I God or not?
Yes.
You know, is everybody going to accept my position as God or not? Am I going to get the benefits from that or not?
And everything else is support.
Yeah, and everything else is a detail, right? You know, how much support, how much they surrender. And as they surrender and support, that much you then reciprocate, right? You know, as they, right?
So,
that's what Gita says.
Show of your godness.
Huh?
That's how much you show of your godness.
Yes, yes. Okay. So we see here, of all these 16 items, Siddhanta is Krishna. So if it's not based on Siddhanta, it's not actually good Nyaya. Does that make sense? Yeah. 7, avyayas, are 5 requisite components of inference, namely pratigya, statements, hetu, reason, udaharana, example, upanaya, universal proposition, and nigamana, conclusion. So these 5 components have to be used as the framework for applying all these other 16 aspects.
This one is Gautamas, yes?
Means,
yes, is Purvapaksha and Samsha, yes? The terms?
That means... Everybody's using this, but the point is that the separating the pratigya and the reason, you don't necessarily have to.
I was talking about the words.
Yes, yes, yes. But I'm saying in Vyasadeva, in Vedanta Sutra. So we take the pratigya and the hetu, put that together, that becomes the shamshaya.
No, that becomes the vishaya.
The vishaya, excuse me.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
That means that becomes their doubt. Then they're going to then their Purvapaksha is going to be all their Udaharana and their idea of, you know, the Upanaya and Nigamana, right? Then the Uttara will be our Udaharana, right? And then having brought it to a conclusion, then we'll go through Upanaya and all that. So that Upanaya, universal and Nigamana conclusion, that'll be Siddhanta.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, how you say, the Vishaya is Pratigya and Hetu. Right? The Uttara is your Udaharana, and your Siddhanta is your Upanaya and Nigamana. Does that make sense? Because the whole idea is that someone who's working on the Vedanta Sutra level knows this well enough that they can tell the difference there. So you don't have to... You know, it's just like people who know how to drive the car. You don't have to tell them to unlock the car first before you get in. Right, they know that, you know, put the key in there, sit down, put your seat belt. You don't have to get into all that.
You always give that example with that.
What?
You always use that example with this explanation.
I do?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, it works.
Udharana is mapped to Uttara.
Sorry?
Udharana is mapped to Uttara. Uttara.
Means Udaharana will be the Uttara. Because that's the why you see as it goes back and forth. So therefore, it can be, you have, they make their Vishaya and their Purvapaksha, then you have your Uttara, then they have another one, and it just keeps going back and forth. So that point when you get to Udaharana, that can go on forever.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. But the whole point is, and in that, they're making a point, you're coming to a conclusion. So there's a small circle of these avyayas going on. You're getting, and there's a small, you're getting a goal, you're establishing a point. And then from that, then you're taking that step through to try to get to a particular position.
Mm-hmm.
But you're trying to get to an ultimate point of a Siddhanta you're trying to come to, an ultimate Prayojana.
So out of these, we have the Uttara, which is, it is the largest chunk, you know, out of the five.
Yeah, the Udaharana, that's the biggest of the body of the discussion. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So just like you see in these like 10-page purports of Prabhupada,
yes, yes.
You know, the acharyas. So yes. The pratigya, the hetu, the upanaya, and the nigamana, that will be the same size as any other purports.
Yes.
But the udaharana, that will be what's taking up 9 pages.
Yes.
Like that, and it'll be in paragraphs because he's making different aspects. So, say the pratigya that he makes. Let's say within that there are 5 major points that could be addressed that come up from the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have all these different aspects. So you're just dealing with all of them. Like let's say Vedanta Sutra, then he's going through and different adhikaranas. He's dealing with these different doubts. But you could also pull it back and do it as one very large, you know, how you say, adhikarana, where you make your point, give the reasons, and then deal with each one right after another. But then the problem in that, you may forget it's going back and fine points,
mm-hmm.
like that. So, but the point is it can go either way. It can work like that. It's not a problem.
So, the difference between Panchanga and our Vishaya Uttara Purvapaksha Siddhanta is that for the Vedanta Sutras we are using this particular style wherein we have the opponent party and then that's how it's going on back and forth, you know.
Yes.
The Samshaya, Vishaya, Purvapaksha, everything. But here, you know, when we have our own presentation, then we are the ones who get the different doubts and then accordingly deal with them and prove the point. So that's how it is. Like this is a presentation where we think of the doubts which could come up in the audience or...
Yes, yes. But I'm saying the thing is it's there's a presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're dealing with the doubts and all that, since it's about defeating the doubts, then using the terminology that Vedavyasa uses, it just makes it very,
mm-hmm.
very direct. You don't have to get into all the little detail.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. On the structure of the avyayas. In other words, the avyayas are the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're the ones, because it's different words, we're trying to make it into something different.
Yeah.
You know, it's like tomato, tomato, potato, potato, like that. You know, so, you know, that makes sense. Yeah, so then the whole things we're trying to say is totally different, it can't work. Right?
Yes,
well, that's how it goes, right? So then the point being here is that when you are in Udaharana, if you're having 2 argue points,
mm-hmm.
then it's the same whether you describe it as the one or the other. All it is the Udaharana, then it's by Vyasa's system is simply a detail of that. You understand? Because Udaharana, I present, someone may ask a question, may have a doubt, and I go through. So that's the structure, that's the avyaya. But to bring it out that, okay, here's my point, and here's their point. Therefore, I have Shamshaya, Vishaya, you know, Purvapaksha, Uttara, you know, Siddhanta, all these different things like that. These are just details that they're bringing this out. So it's not that it's a different system. It's the same thing. It's just that you're getting into a detail. Does that make sense? Yeah. So tarka, or hypothetical argument, is the process of questioning and cross-questioning that leads to a particular conclusion. It is a form of supposition that can be used as an aid to the attainment of valid knowledge. Right. So this would be like, I guess what you would call in the modern sense rhetoric. It's just how to present an argument, how to go through. Because you're trying to come to a conclusion. So it's just you ask questions, how you make your points and this and that. So that would be your standard kind. So then they'll also call this whole thing tarka. Because that's what you're doing. You're having a discussion and you're trying to get to a point. So questions that you'll ask and different things like that. Modern day people don't ask questions so much.
Mm-hmm.
They tell you what you said. So, you know, I think that, you know, we should be, accommodating and try to, you know, get everyone involved. So then you're saying that we shouldn't worry about the individual. It should just be about, you know, the impersonal group. You don't care about the individual. That's a modern one. It's not actually tarka. because they're not questioning. They don't, so what do you mean by this group? What do you mean? That would be the Vedic, is that it's unclear. But they take it something they're unclear about. That means then that proves that you're wrong and they're right, and so therefore then they fight. Yes.
Does it include also like hypothetical options? What could
Yeah. That's the thing, is that that's why Siddhanta has to be the core thing of this whole process, because otherwise then the hypothetical can get really hypothetical. Yeah, but you know, what happens if, you know, how you say, what do you call those? Shape-shifting reptilians, you know, come in from Pleiades like that and, you know, take over our government. You know, like that. It says, yes, okay, yes, you know. So you prefer the reptiles as opposed to the octopuses, right? The octopuses? You know, so, oh, you haven't heard them? Yeah, so that's why Siddhanta has to be the core thing. And so it just doesn't get off into that. That's why you have to have your avyas. There has to be a form to it, a structure. And it also has to have, there has to be a goal. If it's just you like to argue, then there's no goal other than argumentation. So that's not actually a goal of this process. And you have to see is that it has to be based on praman. And then prameyas have to be stuff that's based on praman. Right? You can't have things that aren't based on. So that's the point, is that we can discuss how to apply things in Krishna consciousness because we accept the praman and the prameyas. Right? So, but we see as other schools, sometimes they accept certain aspects of praman, certain aspects of prameya. Mm-hmm. You know, so by their understanding of praman, then they say prameya, that, you know, how you say consciousness, the material energy is the source of consciousness, of the soul, of the creation, of this and that. But that's not actually the real understanding, because that's not actually based on praman. Right? But it gets their work done. Therefore, then, they'll come up with hypothetical arguments. Does that make sense?
We are studying how to properly discuss, basically, how to have reasonable discussion.
Yes.
Actually on any level. Not just
it's on any. Means logic is just. In other words, this is how humans think and interact. In fact, this whole process, in fact, sometimes a little bit of more detail on certain aspects are given in Ayurveda. There's a chapter in Ayurveda that just talks about logic. You know, and that will be quoted as something about establishing logic. Right? Why? Because you would say, well, that's Ayurveda. Why is it talking about it? Because Ayurveda is about health. Right? The physical, the sensual, the intellectual, the mental health. Mm-hmm. The consciousness of the living entity. If that's not healthy, you're not actually healthy. So much lack of health can come up because you don't actually think and function in a logical way. You create so much anxiety for yourself, you create for others, creates more of an anxiety, and because of this anxiety, you get an anxiety, and anxiety is a major aspect of getting sick. While health is lost is because of that. You know, so, you know, now people talk about what you're eating. Or exercise, they don't talk about how much you're eating or the anxiety that's there from that whole process. And uncleanliness, okay, they use some bacterial, antibacterial clean, but after cream, but after they've killed all those bacteria on their fingers, they leave them on their fingers, and then when they eat them, they digest all those dead bacteria. You know, so they really don't know what's clean. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difficulty, is it's not really known. So Ayurveda then gets into all these aspects so that you can appreciate this. So logic is one of them. So this is actually how human beings are supposed to function. Because if you can see as you go through, someone who doesn't follow this, that will be where the problems will come up. That's why it's hard to talk to them, or they can't understand, or there's no communications because these aren't being used. What's that?
So does it somewhere explain how to go around with these kind of not really discussions?
Means you see how people use it. That's why the Purana is so important for us. Because the Purana is people that are using this. All the 14 branches of Vedic knowledge, then you get them and you see them in their they're, you know, the theoretical and practical applications, but that means that practical application is a, you know, a drishtanta, an example of an application. Then you have to actually apply it into your life. So that means a lot of thinking. So then the histories, the Puranas, that whole group of knowledge, then its advantage is it shows what great personalities did. Now you see in people's lives today, Purana is the most important of all the aspects. Right? Unless, it means, let's say if you're very, let's say, scientifically absorbed, that this may be quite restricted because you don't really care about came about and who did it because, you know, you're smarter than them anyway. But otherwise, for people, is that all their life is all about these things. What they talk about, you know, stories they read and everything's like this is all about what people do. So the Vedic literature then fulfills that, but in a way that you're dealing with self-realized souls. And so how are they dealing? Because they're in the material world, you know, by location, and they're dealing with the modes of nature in their situations. And so how can we be involved in that, and how can we get that benefit? Mm-hmm. So we see what they do, and then we have to then try to apply that into our life. So in other words, there has to be that pari prashna, you know, means that pranipata pari prashna seva. We have to want to know. We have to try to inquire to find out, understand how to apply it, and then we actually have to apply it. Yeah. And if we're doing that, then the whole process runs very well. Yeah. But if it's about, no, I don't have to do anything, everybody else has to adjust. In other words, I don't have to actually endeavor in the situation. The situation should just come to me. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's the problem, is people are don't want to make that endeavor. They're not emotionally mature. Mm-hmm. They may have knowledge and skills and are very good at that, but they feel all the other things should come to them. Mm-hmm. You know?
Maharaj, can we say that samshaya? I'm trying to understand the difference between samshaya and tarka. So
samshaya and tarka. Yeah, tarka tarka means the process of that whole discussion that you're going through, questioning and cross questioning, to try to that. That's the process of that. So that will be vishaya samshaya. But it can be that you're asking a question before you have a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You don't have to immediately have a doubt. You can ask a question. He's just like someone gave his reason, but from that reason you still don't quite catch it. You ask a question, then they explain it more.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It means there's a saying, and this process is actually a very good system of tarka, because there's also an English saying of you give someone enough rope that they can hang themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they just keep talking long enough, they'll make a mistake. They'll show what their weakness is and their mm-hmm. point. Then when you see that. So if you just jump right in immediately, it may not work.
Mm-hmm.
But if you give them enough rope, then they'll hang themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you come up with your doubt. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So these are all subtle. They're all interrelated. But you have to understand that the various aspects. Like this rock. It's a rock. We can say it's a rock. So this is logic. But in this, we could get into what it's made out of. And therefore, what it's made out of, therefore, the colors, the colors that it has, the patterns that it has, the density that it has, the uses that it has, what you can do with it, you know, can it be carved or not, or different things like that, or, you know, can it be used medicinally, or can it be used in painting, or you can go into so many things, but it's still one rock. And they're all interrelated. That's the point. All these 16 are all connected to each other. If they're not, why are they all nyaya? But at the same time, as there's a subtle difference, that's why there's 16.
So then tarka comes because of insufficient realization of
tarka.
A particular subject. Yeah.
Tarka. No, means you could say that, but it's more along the line of tarka means that you're going to go through the process to either present something or to understand something.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Okay, then 9, Nirnaya. Or conclusion is the ascertainment of assured truth about something that is attained by means of recognized and legitimate sources of knowledge. So in other words, it's based on praman, and so now you've come to a conclusion through the processes. And so then in this, then you can be assured that this is correct, because by logic, it hasn't been proved otherwise. You use the logic properly and all that. Weakness is that logic can't understand everything.
Mm-hmm. What would be the difference between Nirnaya and Siddhanta?
Means Siddhanta is the point that you're establishing. That Nirnaya is that it's based on the proper knowledge and everything like that. That's why you see is Nirnaya part of the thing is Sangati. Yeah, part of the definition is Sangati.
Okay.
Because you have to show where it does. It means like here, then probably gives the quote and things like that. So it'll show what is the thing, then you're going to take it and it's been based on the Shastra. The Siddhanta is the point itself.
So this is what brings it closer to Siddhanta, yes?
No, because this would be in that realm. The Nirnaya would be what you would call in Vyasadeva's the Siddhanta. And it's also is the Siddhanta in the Avyayas. Like that. But the point is that it's a conclusion reached through the logical process. So now you can use that logical process to establish and apply it. While Siddhanta is the point that's being established by that process and coming to the conclusion. Somebody say?
Nirnaya also means decision.
Decision. Yes. That you made it means here's the point. So if you have a point, it may be the Siddhanta, but you are committed to it, then that's another thing. Mm-hmm. That's what we mean by the practical step. You have to commit to it. You have to surrender to it. So that would be, indicated by the Nirnaya. Because otherwise, what's the point of coming to a conclusion if you aren't going to practically apply it? Mm-hmm. Right? So that we see much of the time in the Vedic system that you'd have these scholars, and they would come and discuss. But the point was is they were trying to understand something, a subject matter. So generally we hear about the philosophical. So they would be discussing that, and when through the discussion it comes to this point of Nirnaya, then that means the person who is presenting it and the person who therefore understood it, or between both of them, they both came to a conclusion, they both gained something from it, then you're going to apply that into your life. So much of the time we see is whoever was the senior one, the junior one would tend to, or means junior by where they came out, in the discussion. Right? Let's say it's two have an opposing argument, who won the argument and who therefore then saw and he realizes how his argument was wrong and the other one was right. They surrender and then follow that school. Does that make sense? You see that a lot and all, but you have to go back in time. You'd even see that in the Oriental, the martial arts. Someone has a martial art and they practice, they're very good at it, they meet someone else, the other person defeats them. Then they generally will practice their school because their school is better. They're a martial artist. They want to be good at martial arts. So they've chosen what they feel is the best school. And if a school is able to defeat them, then that's a better school, then they take that up. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point of Nirnaya, is that you've made that decision. You've made that commitment. You want to practice it, apply it. So it has that aspect where the mind is accepted. It's not just the philosophical point of the intellect. So in other words, Nirnaya is applied Siddhanta. The commitment to that.
Yeah. Can you say that Nirnaya is something like Upanaya only because,
No. Upanaya is the universal proposition. That's what brings it near.
Yeah.
Nirnaya means that you're going to now, therefore, apply the point. Does that make sense? There's a connection, means that you're making your universal proposition, but you have to apply that. So that's the conclusion. That's the Nigamana.
Yeah.
right? Yes. You know, it's just like we have a, how you say, the whole principle is that, you know, that the viscosity added to the vegetables brings out their flavor and, you know, makes them more appreciated and all that. And so, therefore, in this particular discussion, we're not discussing uncooked vegetables, you know, salads, we're talking about cooked vegetables. And so, therefore, in that, then we have found, you know, and shown that the different things by the acharyas, what they have said, what Ayurveda says, that the dairy products are better than your, you know, vegetable oils and all these kind of things. So therefore, of that, then the dairy products, the most common, you know, viscosity to add to vegetables is going to be, you know, butter or ghee, right? So now if you're going to be heating it to a certain temperature, the ghee has the advantage, but if you're not, then the butter has an advantage because it has that full of flavor, right? And so therefore, then our universal proposition is that butter should be added to everything. And so now as the Nirnaya, we're committed to that, and we'll try to see how we can add butter into everything that we eat. Right? Right? I was just taking the French position.
Well, last time you mentioned about the conditions, that actually Nirnaya is using all sangatis.
Yes, because there's six kinds of sangatis, and so you have to see that. You have to be, because if it doesn't have these sangatis, how do you apply it? Because that's where meaning is, that your contemplation is, these contemplations, you're going to be seeing how all these things are applying, right? And so because they're applying, then you can see the different angles.
Yes.
Because otherwise, we take it in the one thing, we don't add the other things, the other sangatis, then we don't actually see. So let's say I take the fourth chapter of Gita and I accept that, but I don't see the third or the fifth. I won't really understand what the fourth is talking about. But if I see it in the context of that, then I'll see what it's talking about. And then that has to be seen in the context of the six chapters, that is Buddhi Yoga. That has to be seen in the context of the next six chapters, you know, which then has to be seen in the context of, it's about devotion to Krishna,
yes,
right? And then with that, then I can apply details that are given in the last six chapters by those supporting the first six chapters that are being used to apply yourself in the middle six chapters,
yes,
right? Does that make sense? Yes. And then the full appreciation of those 18 chapters is then seen if you appreciate Bhagavatam. Right? And you'll fully appreciate Bhagavatam when you catch the angle of Bhagavatam from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Does that make sense?
Maharaj.
Hence a 12-year course.
So then when we give a Siddhanta, and for giving that Siddhanta, then we mention, like, Brahma Samhita says like this. You know? So then we are making the point more stronger by giving the references.
Yes, that means it's always best to give the references. That's always considered the proper way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Difficulty is then you have to have enough memory to remember the verses. That's the... It means, in other words, future generations will do this very nicely.
So Maharaj, you said that Nyaya is based on the Vedas.
Yes. Yes, the Vedas, all these 16 points are already explained in the Vedas.
So
now, whether these specific names are used in the Veda, or Gotam himself has given these names to establish it, but the point is the principles that are here, these 16, are not created by Gotama. He's observing them, and for him, this is very important. So he's made his study here, and he's put it together in a very nice, you know, presentation. Because if you think about something so much, you come down to a very nice, simple, presentable, practical way. That's what he's done.
There's nothing like it. In Vaishnavism, we have proof, you know, and can recite, you know, verses in the Vedas which prove our point, but there's nothing like that.
Here, no, that's the first one, Praman. The opening one. Yeah, that's the opening one. You have to start with that.
Okay.
Yeah. So what we do, it's also this avyaya, as Prabhupada mentions, quoting Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that any discussions in civilized, you know, company is always based on these avyayas. And you'll see Prabhupada's purports, they're all based on these avyayas. Sometimes if he's just making a note or something like that, it won't have all the aspects. It's more of a note. But when he's, generally your standard purports, they have all these five. You can always see them. But it's just that because it's being practiced, this nirgamana, that we have to be able to appreciate its ability to be able to be applied. And so that's sometimes why it don't always catch what's going on. So because there's a thread, so they're all connected, means your reason is based on your statement. So many times we can't tell the difference between the reason and the statement. And then the examples that are there, but then your universal, you know, but your examples will think, well, that's establishing the reason or establishing the statement. So, you know, what's the difference? And then our universal proposition is that, you know, okay, that we'll say that that's the conclusion. No, that's just bringing it near. You're taking whatever they're saying and you're saying, you're presenting universal. That means it resolves the conflict between the two. Now what you're going to do with that, that's the nigamana. So many people argue not because they're getting to a real something you're going to do with. Like, let's say two people arguing over who's the best actor, and they themselves wouldn't know, have a clue about acting. So what are they going to do with it when you establish that this one's the better actor? You know what I'm saying? And so they can go on arguing. You know, that's the basis of their friendship, is they both like, you know, how you say, something to do with actors, and they love arguing. So then it goes together. Does that make sense? So then the problem comes is that we can't tell the difference. But they're all one thing that has these five different aspects. So when that's clear, then the whole structure starts to become useful, and then you can see how all these fit in. Is that... Yeah. Okay. Yeah. On these things, unless I ask, best to leave it, because I was trying to discern if we were getting into that group that... These are things that aren't your straightforward aspects of arguing, but they are aspects that are, tools that you can use, or tools that others use. You may have someone who's not really sincerely interested in a conclusion or siddhanta, they just want to win the argument. So they'll use these tools because they're very effective for throwing it off the actual proper discussion. Or someone is already off, and therefore you can't. You use them to balance that. In other words, if you have a disease, you use the medicine for that disease. Does that make sense? So that's what we were looking at. Does that make sense? So unless we ask, don't throw it out so immediately. Okay, Bhadha. Or discussion is a kind of debate between two parties on a particular subject trying to arrive at truth by applying methods of reasoning and logic. Right. So this is focusing more on the aspect of the technique that you're using. While you see is the tarka is the hypothetical and cross you know, questioning and cross questioning and this kind of aspect. Well, then the bada will be is more upon the methods that you're going to, using all these methods, how you're using it, your strategy and things like that. Does that make sense?
It's too subtle.
Well, the problem is the whole thing is subtle. That's the difficulty.
It's really subtle.
really subtle.
Because both are discussions and arguments.
Yes, but it's where they're focusing. One is about the hypothetical aspect, and that that you're okay. You have this, so, but you know. So, what do you? What is your? What do you think on this? Or what do you mean by this? Or you know. So how do you, you know? Like how do you define subtle here? Or how do you define it's too subtle? Or
so that's
Tarka.
And
right,
Veda.
And then that would be methods of reasoning and logical. So then, let's say I put the example, the emphasis on giving an example, or trying to bring out the praman, or I'm moving about trying. I give you the prayojana, you know, like that. You know, in the process, I'm trying to figure out which one of these techniques is going to work, so that you understand. That's yes. So we're also looking at these in a positive or more progressive way. People also use these in a negative way, but we're looking at it from the positive. Okay. 11, Jalpa. Okay, so here starts those
here,
four.
Those are the negative ones?
These ones are ones that they don't really have. They're here because people do it. And it's you can have a whole discussion without using these. Mm-hmm. But people who use them, you have to know how to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And people who use them, you can use them against them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like fire against fire. Mm-hmm. You know? So jalpa, or wrangling, is the process by which the two parties try to attain victory over the other without making an honest attempt to come to the truth. Right? So they're not actually worried about as much as they can say here about the bada, you know, or the they're not really trying to worry about these things. You know, that they're trying to use the techniques and that. They're just trying to find what will win the argument.
This is example can be lawyers in the court.
Means they can do that a lot. You'll see that a lot. So you can see, an example could be like in the court system, modern court system. They'll use wrangling a lot. Yes, because it's just you're trying to win your case.
Yes.
Right, because there's this idea is that two parties, then you know, there's a question you don't know, so two parties then fight over, you know, establishing the truth and all this and that, and so therefore then through the process of logic and all that, it should come out right. But if you're wrangling, it won't, right? Because you may already know your client is guilty, but you'll try to prove that he's not. That's wrangling. Right? Mm-hmm. Because it's not about Siddhanta, because he is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's not actually proper for the court system. But yeah, thank you.
From now on, it actually shows the improper part of the discussion.
It would be your methods that aren't ideal. So if someone's using them as a main presentation, that's just wrong. Though it's part of this how people do. You know, it's just like, let us say, as we're talking about what should be done, we also talk about what shouldn't be done. That's part of the discussion, yama and niyama. Right? So then in this case, these are technically the ones that you should avoid. But if someone else is using them, you can use them back, as long as you're using it to come to a conclusion. But if you're not trying to come to a conclusion, then you're, you know, using these just like them, so it's a waste of time. But you may use it as a technique. You know, it's just like, you know, I say, you know, why do you say that? Why do you say, why do I say that? You know, it's just... It's just like, you know, it's a stupid thing that they said. And you just said, huh? You know, it's just you may use their technique back on them. You know, or, you know, you may, if they're doing jalpa, you may use, you know, Vedanta. You know, it's like now and again, sometimes we go into these really absurd discussions and logic and that. It makes the point. It can be used if someone is irrational. then you can use the irrational more than them to make the point. You know, it's like that, what do you call it? You know, the taming of the shrew. You know, the wife was a shrew, and she was making so much trouble. And so the husband, wanting to have a proper, pleasant relationship, then, you know, because if you bring it up, you know, it's war. So he just became more than her, like way more, like so over the top. It's just so obvious that then she just, no, just, you know, everything peaceful, everything nice and everything like this. Because it wasn't against her. It was about her. In other words, she's trippy. He became trippy, you know, in her defense or support, way more than she would be trippy, to the point where she sees the absurdity of the trippiness. You understand? So you can use it like that. It's like the Brahmastra. Arjuna used his Brahmastra to absorb Ashwatthama's Brahmastra and then retract. Otherwise, the two of them, then it would just destroy everything. So in other words, these can be used if it's necessary. If someone else has used, you use it back. But you have to use it in such a way that it will bring about conclusion. If you just argue to argue because you can, that's not important.
It's just a word.
Yeah, it's just words, it's just argument, it's just emotions. I think as it mentions here, there is an involvement of ego instead of a search for knowledge, right? So there's, without making an honest attempt to come to truth, so that there's not that honesty trying to find the truth, and it's ego instead of a search for knowledge. Just, I know more, I'm better. You know, it may start off like that, but then when they see that the other person's good, their ego comes up. So then it's now they have to win because they're the senior person, or they're the bigger pundit, or they feel I'm more intelligent, or, you know, like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premnadi.